Lord, we're a little company, dusty from the roads of life, and needing in our weakness thy strength. Help us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's 2 Corinthians and chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I notice, if you look at the words in the verse before, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Now who is the Lord? It's Christ here. I would think it is Christ, because he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And then he says at the end that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't think there's much reasonable doubt that Paul is addressing his words, not as he usually does to God, but to Christ. Now, I want to ask you, why should the apostle address his words to Christ direct? Remember, he'd been born and brought up a Pharisee, of the Pharisees, who only used the name and would have abhorred the name of Christ. And why then does he turn to pray to Christ? Well, he'd been buffeted by Satan's messenger. He'd collazo means slapped and kicked, like Christ was by the high priest's servants. It means knocked around severely, like you'll see occasionally a woman in the street who claims she fell downstairs, when you can see quite clearly that her husband has been knocking her around. You'll see that this word is something which came to him because of his weakness. You see, when you're really weak, you turn to the things which you most need. And the things which you most need is someone to sympathize, Christ. I remember a missionary from Brazil who spent his years riding on mules through the Brazilian jungle and living at nights. I knew him well. He taught me missionary training. And he said, he was a great big powerful man, and he said we used to lay out our Bible on the back of the mule and read it as we went along, because it was so boring day by day. But he said that there was a Scottish missionary with them, the Presbyterian. And one day, the man was ill. And he said, I went in to see him in his little room where we lived. And I found him reading. And he said to me, rather embarrassedly, now I'm reading the Gaelic. And he said, why are you reading the Gaelic? And he looked at him with a smile. He said, that's what I learned to read on my mother's knee. And he said, when I'm really weak and ill, this speaks to me as the English doesn't speak to me. So you see that when we're really down, we want something that can really understand us, and we understand. And that's why Paul turned to Jesus. Now, what bothers me about Christians is I've seen many Christians go through great difficulties, and some stop coming to church and stay at home because they feel it's too much to come to church if they're in difficulties, and some do other things and they seek a godless company to comfort them. Paul sought Christ to comfort him. Remember, Paul had lost a family and a religion and a home and a country and a tribe and everything else, and that he was on his own. So that he sought Christ. Why? Because Christ experienced weakness, utter weakness. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Furthermore, Christ experienced powerless, and they took him and bound his hands and led him unto the high priest's palace. He knew what it was to be utterly powerless to even direct his own affairs. And as a baby, he was utterly powerless. And as a man, he was frequently in the hands of others. They ministered to him. You know, one of the difficulties of us as Christians in the West is we're not prepared to be powerless. We're not prepared to let everything go so that we may reach others to be in their power. It's something that people reject. When I was visiting hospital this afternoon, a young girl stopped me and she said, "Will you pray for me?" And I said, "Well, what about?" She said, "My baby was born 2 months premature and he's had terrible lung problems, and they've just taken him off the steroids and off the machine that they've kept him alive on, the ventilator, and he's fighting for his life now in the hospital." So we stopped in the street and I put my hand on the girl's shoulder and I prayed to God that she would be led to understand and that her child would come to know Christ. You know, when you're really weak, then you're strong. I went from there to a hospice to visit a Christian I know who's just been moved after a huge operation into the hospice. And they said to me, "She's in a very peculiar mood today. You won't get through to her. She's very difficult to deal with." Well, I went in and she didn't want to know me, and then she gradually did, and then gradually it opened out. The mortgage company are taking her house away, and she's paid very much of the mortgage, and the whole of being in there had brought her right down. Her family, who she's done much for, weren't visiting her, nor her friends and others, and she just felt utterly bereft. Reading with her and praying with her, I couldn't help feeling that we Christians deal with weakness very, very badly. We're all right while we're strong and things go our way, but when they don't go our way, well then, people turn to blaming God. In their minds, if not outwardly, they say, "Why does it happen to me?" Or, why does it keep happening to me?" Now, Paul took all this to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Paul was buffeted by Satan, so he went to the one who had buffeted Satan. And that is what we do. And then again, if you think of our Lord Jesus Christ, in utter weakness of death, he won. He had a power in him which could overcome the weakest of all situations, his own dead body. So Paul turned to Christ. Now that's very simple, isn't it? That why Paul turns to Christ here. Now I notice that he said he besought the Lord thrice for this thing, that it might depart from him. And Jesus departed from them a stone's throw, and kneeling down, prayed unto God, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he came back and found them sleeping, and he departed again a stone's throw, and he prayed like the first time. Then he came back and said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And he departed again and knelt down, and then he came back and said, "The hour is come." And you know, three times Paul prayed, three times Jesus prayed. No wonder he turned to the Lord Jesus in his despair. When everything is a despair to you, then you turn to Jesus. You don't turn to God in the same way. I don't know why, but those are the reasons that are in my mind. And I note something very clearly here. For my sins, I had to learn Greek, and I'm not very good at it, but I can tell that the tense here is not a very clear one. It's what they call aorists. And what it is he's saying, at that time, years before, when I experienced this thing of weakness in the flesh and of buffeting by Satan, my strength was made perfect in weakness. That is what Jesus said to me then. But I notice also that the words apply to the present. He's saying this utter weakness is with me now, and Christ's strength is now being made perfect in me. And I see again that those words apply right through the future, that my strength is going to be made perfect in my servant's weakness. That thing will go right through life. Now, I want you to ask God to so strengthen your spirit that you will not forget God is made perfect in weakness, for he flies upon the wings of the wind, upon the cherub, and burning coals go before him, and flames of fire. He devours his enemies. He can come to you. He can come to you in any situation, anywhere, and bring you through. Christ always causes us to triumph in Christ. There's never a time, even when we despair even of life, when we should not triumph fully in Christ. So then, to Paul, Christ was all in all. Is he to you? Is he the one to whom you can continuously turn and in all your weakness bring it to him? That is what is here, and very, very clear indeed. Now I notice too in this verse that he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now I am dealing with the words out of Christ's mouth. If this was a red letter Bible, I possess one which Fowsey gave me, but I don't love them. But if this was a red letter Bible, they would put this in red letters as straight of Christ speaking. My grace is sufficient for thee. And it means in every single knee, his grace is sufficient. Now, the word sufficient there is complete. It's complete in me. There's no part lacking. So then, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I have nothing, then I have all things. When everything around me gives way, when the mountains go into the sea and the sea boils and there's utter chaos, then I have all peace, all joy, all hope in believing. This is something very wonderful. Please grasp it now, because the days are coming, says the Lord, when in the great waters they shall not come nigh me. And what he means is this: you are laying a foundation. Now you cannot do it in the great waters. You know how they build a bridge to get those piers? They either divert the whole river, or they wait till it's almost dry in summer, and then they build great barriers round them, and then they build up the plinths and try and get above the water before it comes back. So it is with us. We build today for a day coming when you and I shall lose our powers and everything will fail. Heart and flesh will fail, light will fail, and all the friends and all the things we've placed our heart in will fail. And in that day, well, who will bear us through the flood? Only what we've learned of Christ now. For in the great waters they shall not come nigh me. Remember those words and put them in your heart, and make sure that, like Paul, it's in the past, in the present, and ready for every contingency that can come. Now another meaning of grace here is thankfulness. And we've got to be, my grace is sufficient for thee, my thankfulness is sufficient for thee, I am as thankful as I ought to be to thee, Lord. Now that's something to really think about. And then Dr. Doddridge translates this as love. My love is sufficient for thee. And it is, in a sense, carries grace, love. The love is sufficient. There's God's love. And can it be insufficient for us? Sometimes when I feel very down, I just think of it like this, that I am like the Norse god and the man who sat down with the drinking cup. Have you ever heard the story of the Norse god and the man who did that? And they sat down to see who could drink the most. They drank the sea. When the man drank, the sea went back a quarter of a mile. He was a hero of the Norse gods, of the Norse. But when the god drank, the sea dried up. And so it is. We have no power to dry up the sea of grace. However much we drink of this fountain, it's always fresh and always coming. That is this wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's sufficient. Sufficient, what do I mean? Well, it covers all things. It covers every possible contingency. Will you end up in the hospice? You have no idea. Where will you end up? You have no idea. But grace is sufficient. And if you can grasp it and get your head round it and your heart and cling to that like a vine or a creeper clings to a branch, so it will bear you up above it. My grace is sufficient for you. And it also means perfect. The word sufficient there means perfect. My grace is perfect in every way. Now, I must admit that sometimes it's a real battle in my mind to have the grace of God as perfect, but I reckon it this way, that Christ found it perfect. Therefore, if I'm in Christ, I shall find it perfect. And this is sufficient. So when everybody else is blaming you for things, and there's petulance and difficulty and trouble abroad, then my grace is made perfect. Perfect in weakness. And in my weakness, in my tongue and in my head and in my flesh and in my lack of sleep and in my everything else, His grace is made perfect. And then again, this grace is gifts. It's the gifts. So then, there's all the gifts here. Look at verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. This is the grace of God that is given to us. And it's in weakness. Now, what does he mean by weakness here? Well, we've explained it, but it's much more. Weakness is something which God sends you, lest you should be exalted above measure, and lest you should become proud. Chrysostom held that the weakness of Paul was sometimes his preaching gave way and was very bad. As other people hold, it was his eyesight. Other people hold all sorts of things. We have no idea. But what we do know is whatever the weakness, and real weakness, Christ's grace is sufficient. I remember reading of an African Christian in hospital, I think I'm right, in Tanzania, and he'd been mauled by a lion. And he said, as the doctor pumped penicillin into him and tried to fight the infection in the wounds, he said at times the pain was so great that all the beams in the little hut hospital he was in used to twist up in the, above him into funny shapes. But he said, through it all, I kept on and held on to this, that Jesus loves me. That's very simple, but it's the simple things of grace that you hang on to when you're really weak, when your mind has gone. I find when I'm very tired that if I'm not careful, silly things come into my mind, or even wrong things, and sort of take possession of it. And I have to fight myself to make grace sufficient and make Christ's things sufficient for me. These things come in our weakness. The devil is a dirty fighter, and once he sees you on the floor, he'll kick you as hard as possible. But this grace is sufficient for it all. It's made perfect in weakness. Now, the time's gone on me, but I want to make it quite clear to you that we need the grace now, not then. if it's to accompany us into those dark days which come upon us when the grinders stop grinding and those that look out of the window are darkened and the mourners go about the street, or ever the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl be broken at the fountain. In those days you will either have learned Christ and be able to cope with weakness, or you won't. God grant we may learn today. Amen. Now.